We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
Welcome in. The draft is over. And we're here to recap it all. Episode 154 of the Hogan Johns podcast. Busy weekend it was, but one that, you know, has a different feel than last year. I felt like we were putting out fires this last year. This year, everybody's happy.
It's odd.
Different feeling.
Everybody's happy. National media, local media,
you said
anonymous scouts.
You said you got one email Friday, but we were talking about this, how I couldn't point to one tweet even, comment.
Yeah.
Nobody was upset about the Roquan Smith pick.
I got an email still from a fan who was still upset about the Mitch Trubisky trade-up move. There are some fans who have this obsession with trading back and draft capital.
It's
just get good players.
Yeah, that's all that matters. That's all that matters. Get at least four good
players you believe in, players who could be great. Sure, some will bust out, whatever. But if the team believes in them, God, go for them.
Which is what happened with Anthony Miller in the second round, as Ryan Pace basically took his second round pick from next year and said, hey, let's just do it right now.
Yeah.
Which I don't have a problem with at all if you got conviction on it, Kai. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Our producer, Joe Romano, is with us at Joey Joe Rowe, WGNRadio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. That's where you can read us. Search Hogan Johns on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn. Please rate and review the podcast. We appreciate you doing that. We took some voicemails over the weekend. Joe, we're not doing those today, are we?
No, I didn't cut any up for today.
That's all right. You're a busy man. We'll bring those to you on the next podcast for sure then. Because I saw those notifications flowing in all weekend. People were calling in. 312-222-5050 is the phone number. So we'll get you a good voicemail segment in the next podcast. How about this? We'll do something better for you this time. What could be better than voicemails? How about a phone conversation with the general manager of the Chicago Bears? Can we do that?
We could do that.
All right. We had a chance to talk to Ryan Pace just a few moments ago before we sat down to record the whole episode. The GM is on the podcast again. Third appearance on the pod, I think?
Fourth. Third or fourth?
Something like that. It's always great to talk to him, recap the whole draft with him after a busy, busy weekend at Hallis Hall. So here is our conversation with Bears general manager, Ryan Pace. Okay, so we got a special guest on the podcast today. He's been on before, recurring guest. Bears general manager, Ryan Pace, taking some time the couple days here after the draft. Ryan, thanks for jumping on with us.
Yeah, anytime, guys. I love this podcast, so whatever you need.
Well, we got to give you some trouble, though, because we understand that you cheated on us, though, because you went on Pardon My Take at the Combine.
That was a Brandon Faber special there. I didn't really know what I was getting into, but it was those guys are great.
I've always wanted to test you with the hard-hitting question of who the greatest fans are in the NFL.
Yeah, it's interesting. I didn't really know kind of the whole theme behind it all. So it was neat. Those guys are good.
We are not wearing sunglasses though, right now.
No, so. We're not.
Okay, good to know.
I am wearing basketball shorts and a sweatshirt though. I mean, we don't dress up.
He's got
for
a game
this
later.
Yeah,
perfect.
So when the draft ends, I've always been curious. You guys spend so many long hours in a small room, a bunch of guys in there. Yeah. What goes on when it's over? Yeah, you got undrafted free agency, but is there like an after party? What's your go-to drink? How do you get everybody to relax?
So you're right. The draft ends, and you're scrambling for college free agency. That's like the floor of Wall Street, you know, and that's happening. There's kind of a flurry of activity for at least a couple hours, and then that settles down. And then you're kind of, you know, we bring a lot of guys in for rookie minicamp tryouts. So you're kind of establishing those lists. And then usually what we've done the last couple of years is, you know, the whole personnel department, we all go out to dinner. So this year we all went out to Anavasi and Lake Bluff, and, you know, it's just kind of a little bit of a celebration, and everybody's kind of coming down from a busy 3 days and really a busy, you know, full calendar year almost of preparation for the draft. So that's what we did.
And I bet everybody's still talking football regardless.
Yeah, you know, at that point in time, you're talking about, you know, hey, you know, what other teams' drafts did we like? Which ones did we not like? What picks were selected? What were you surprised about? You know, like, you're kind of going over stories and talking through those different scenarios.
Well, along those lines, I'm always so fascinated, Ryan, with what's going on behind the scenes. We spend months and months and months of guessing what's going to happen. And to some degree, you're obviously way more plugged in than the media is leading up to it. But there has to be some surprises along the way. You're also trying to get as much intel on what other teams are going to do. Do you have any good stories to say, like, from the first hour of the draft, as you're obviously targeting Roquan Smith? I know there's other guys you have at the top of your draft board, and you're trying to guess, hey, you know, how many of these quarterbacks, we talked about this before the draft, how many of these quarterbacks are going to go? Any good stories of that first hour?
Yeah, you know, we're curious how many we're going to go. Just two going to go, three, you know, four quarterbacks in front of us. You know, we're kind of going through all those scenarios. And so what you try to do is prepare yourself for every scenario that can take place, you know, and you just don't know, you know. But I would say, for the most part, guys, that in front of us, it went off pretty much like how we expected. You know, I think when Buffalo traded up, you know, to Tampa's pick, you know, I called Jason Like. I was talking to Jason Like on the phone in Tampa, and you know, he said, hey, you know, Buffalo's coming up, and, you know, him and I are close friends, and at that point, you kind of know what they're coming up for, which was good for us. And then at that point in time, we knew, you know, hey, Roquan's going to be there at our pick, and we were thrilled.
I think a lot of people, at least before the draft, linked you guys to Notre Dame guard Quentin Nelson. Is that him being there at 8, say he's there at 8, is that a tough decision you would love to have? Take us through your decision-making in that. Maybe Roquan Smith, then, is gone in Quentin Nelson's place. But
Yeah, the odds of both of them being there, we're probably going to be very slim. But if they were both there, yeah, that would have been a good problem to have, you know, because they're both extremely talented players. But we didn't anticipate that they'd both be there.
It was kind of a unique situation. How much did it help having Harry Hiestan? Obviously, sometimes you end up with coaches that have coached college players, but, I mean, he just got done coaching not only Nelson but also McGlinchey, and those are two top 10 picks.
Yeah, it was awesome. Having him here was huge. And, you know, anytime you have new coaches, you have knowledge of, you know, other teams, free agents, and then college coaches, but with, you know, Hiestad and Helfrich, and, you know, shoot, even Brian Ginn coming from Delaware, you know, we had knowledge, and Charles London had been at Penn State, so we had a lot of knowledge, intimate knowledge of a lot of the, you know, college players, in addition to all the excellent information our college scouts gather. That's important.
As the players are coming off the board, yes, you got those quarterbacks and whatnot, how much do you start, I guess, where does Roquan Smith kind of fit in your Mitch? How is he like your Mitch Trubisky of this draft in terms of, okay, I have to get him at some point?
Yeah, you know, there was the good thing about this draft is there was this was a great draft to be picking eight in, obviously. There's so many good players at the top of this draft. So there's almost a couple of scenarios where you just can't go wrong. You know what I mean? There's a lot of good players in this draft. So we felt very fortunate to be in that spot. But with Roquan, you know, he just fits so many traits beyond the physical talent. You know, there's his character, his leadership, his work ethic, all those things are there in addition to being a really great inside linebacker. So he checks a lot of the boxes of things that we want for our team and for our defense. So when it started looking like, oh man, it's gonna fall this way where Roquan's gonna be there for us to pick, the entire draft, or the entire building, was excited because our coaches feel the same way we feel.
Well, how about Vic? Does he pull out his golf ball and do a little dance?
He came. Yeah, I think you might have seen the little clip that we put out when Vic came in and he talked to Roquan, and they talked about, you know, he had gotten a hole in one earlier in the day, but he was he was even more thrilled to be for us to get Roquan. So it was just a guy we all universally felt good about. You know, we'd spent a lot of time with him, you know, between, you know, the combine and bringing him in here. And it was just there's this unified vision on him as a player and him as a person and what he's going to do for our franchise.
You know, it's funny, Ryan, because the day after the season, you make the coaching change. We're all at House Hall. That was a long day. But on the television monitors in our press room, the Rose Bowl was on. And I think all of us kind of had one eye on the game because it was a huge game. It was one of the semifinals. And Georgia didn't necessarily have a great day defensively as a team, but it was kind of the Baker Mayfield Roquan Smith show just watching that game. Both of those players had such a good game. I'm sure you've analyzed every second of that tape. And ultimately those were two guys that ended up in the top 10 of the draft.
Yeah, you know what's awesome when you're watching tape on these guys. I remember the SEC championship game and Roquan. It felt like he made every tackle. And then, you know, let's say you have his evaluation done, so now you're evaluating other people in the draft. But every time you turn on any tape and Georgia's defense is on there, you can't help but want to watch him. You know, so I'm trying to watch, you know, an Auburn offensive lineman or whatever it is, and your eyes are just going to Roquan. You know, and so that's when you know it's a great player whenever you turn on the tape, even if you're trying to watch the other side of the ball, you keep on gravitating towards Roquan Smith.
Ryan, how much did the draft evaluations kind of change with the changes made with the offensive staff, starting at Matt Nagy and down, going from New Orleans to here and to Matt Nagy? How much did you have a sense of how things kind of changed in terms of targeted players?
As far as our preparation and kind of what we were looking for?
Yeah, and fits and for his offense and just how, Matt's vision for certain players at certain positions.
Yeah, you know, with Matt not only being the head coach, but, the play caller, obviously he has a vision for how he wants each player utilized. And Matt does a really good job of kind of painting that picture for us. So when we're sitting in the draft room and he talks about, okay, this is how a receiver would fit in this offense, and these are the skill sets that we want at each position, the more that coaches can do that, the better it makes us at our jobs, because now we can go find those players. So, and we can kind of filter it down for them. So it was really clean that way. Matt had, a lot of opinions on a lot of players along with the rest of his staff. And then when we collaborate with our scouts and we get on the same page, that's when you just have so much conviction on making a pick, because it's going to work. And we felt that way about Anthony Miller. When we're going to be aggressive and go back in the second round and get him, well, that can kind of stem from the confidence of that whole process that's taking place.
I'm glad you brought up Anthony Miller. So many people are always obsessed about like draft capital. Move down. You need more picks and stuff like that. How do you view? Of course, you traded up and you have him now. It's the way I view it. It's almost like you have two second round picks this year. Yes, you don't have one next year, but you have two this year.
Yeah, Adam, that's exactly how I view it as well. And I think, when you have, again, I keep on saying this, but when you have unified grades on a player, and we all have the same vision, and everybody's on the same page, and that player is available, let's go get it. Let's go get this guy. And we were surprised that he was available at that time. So we were aggressive in our approach to go get him, And so to be able to get James Daniels and Anthony Miller both in the second round, we feel like those are two really good second round picks that we're happy to have.
Do you have to apologize to Jeff Joniak for drafting Joel Iye Buniwe?
We've just been sticking with Iggy.
Yeah. I think Joniak's going to have to do that too.
No, but we're also with him. I mean, when you turn on his tape, right away it jumps out. Just because the physical style he plays with, he's athletic, he's fast, he's active. So he's an exciting player to watch as well.
Just to get clarification on the James Daniels situation and where you want to slot him in the offensive line, you made it very clear the other night that he's going to start off at guard, Cody Whitehair at center. First of all, if you can kind of maybe explain why you think that's the best way to start it. And then just to clarify, is it possible, you're not locking those guys in. If it's possible that it works out the other way around once you see them in camp, obviously it's hard to evaluate all this stuff until the pads go on.
Yeah, and I think that's something we valued as an organization, with the coaches and the scouts, is position versatility, position flexibility with our interior offensive line. So Whitehair can play guard or center. Eric Cush can play guard or center. James Daniels can play guard or center. That's important because you guys know there's so many variables that can take place and so many different outcomes. But right now, that's how we want to start it off. You know, Cody's the center and James Daniels will compete at the left guard spot. And, you know, based on our evaluations, we have confidence that James can play guard, you know, with the leverage and the pad level and the strength that he has. But having that position flexibility allows us to be able to adjust in the future if need be. But right now, that's how we want to start it off.
In terms of strength, draft class strength, where was the interior offensive line for you? Of course, you have Quentin Nelson as the top-rated inside guy, but it seemed like there was a lot of high-quality guards or slash centers available starting off on day two of the draft.
Yeah, I think that was a position of strength because, you know, you talk about Hernandez and Corbett and those guys. I mean, those guys are all really good players, you know. So I think you're right, Adam. It was stronger more in the interior offensive line maybe this year. But every year it's going to change. Every year there are strengths and weaknesses of each draft, and you just have to be mindful of that.
Just to get your scouting hat on when it comes to the quarterbacks, obviously you weren't in the market for one, but were you at all surprised at how it worked out with it? I mean, it sounds like, and this kind of happened last year after the draft, it sort of came out that, well, okay, Mitch kind of was the consensus number one among the evaluators, and obviously it was for you. But with Baker Mayfield, did that surprise you at all?
No, I wouldn't say I was surprised, because I think, you know, when you're in that position as a club, the amount of research and detail that's going into that is enormous. So, you know, I'm sure the amount of time they spent with him in private workouts and in interviews, and, you know, you just don't know, you know, what's a fit somewhere and what's not a fit somewhere. And obviously for Cleveland, that's a good fit for them. And, you know, he's a really good player, a highly competitive player. So none of that surprised me. You know, there was a handful of guys that could have gone early. But I think we predicted pretty well how the outcome would fall out.
How would you grade John Dorsey's level of deception? I mean, you mastered this last year with the quarterback.
John Dorsey's got a lot of experience, and he's really good at it. So, yeah, I think he did a good job. And, you know, it's sensitive. Now, when you're picking first in the draft, there's not as much at risk because you're going to get whoever you want, you know.
How much time are you on the phone with these guys? You mentioned Jason Light. I feel like it's such a time crunch, but are these conversations you have during draft day, are they brief, or how do they go?
Yeah, I mean, throughout, you know, as you get closer to the draft, the days leading up to the draft, you're talking to everybody around you, you know, in front of you and behind you. And then during the draft, you know, you're talking to those guys, you know. And I think, you know, by talking to some of the teams, you know, in front of you or behind you, you can get kind of a feel for what's happening, you know, and it makes it a little bit more predictable what's happening. And, you know, so there's a handful of GMs, especially, that you have close relationships to, and it's those conversations are really easy and natural.
Well, Ryan, we appreciate you coming on. We won't take too much of your time. Just to possibly check a box here at the end, the next thing kind of on the list is Kevin White's fifth-year option potential. I think the deadline's later this week. Have you had a chance to talk to him yet and make a decision on that?
You know, we just came down from today's kind of like a decompress from the draft, you know, so everybody's just kind of, you know, we're talking to our scouts today, and it's kind of a decompress, and then we'll probably, you know, start focusing on that, you know, tomorrow and the day after that, and, you know, we have a couple, you know, decisions that we know we need to make with our roster, and that's one of them. But right now it's just kind of just more coming down from the draft and the excitement associated with that.
So everybody's home, day off for everybody. Does Matt Nagy, you know, get a little break?
Not yet.
He mentioned he wanted a break, and so.
Yeah, I was driving in this morning just thinking about everything that's happened, you know, the last 3-4 months, and it's been busy, but it's been productive, and it's been fun, and we know we still got a lot of work ahead of us, but we're happy with a lot of the moves that we've made, starting with the head coaching hire.
At any point where you're sitting in your office there and you're trying to watch tape or whatnot, and you get annoyed by the construction noise, and you're like, oh yeah, that was my idea.
No, it's awesome. Like, I can look out my window and you can see all the progress, and you can almost, you know, Matt and I joke, we'll take photos and we can kind of have time-lapse photos as we go forward. And, you know, we put pictures in the cafeteria of kind of the, you know, the artistic renderings of what it's going to look like. You know, the players are excited. And, you know, when you feel that progress, it's neat. And it's not just the new facility over there on the north end. It's also the two new practice fields behind the Walter Payton Center, and the stuff that's taking place down there. So, you know, by this time next year, we're going to have one of the top facilities in the NFL, and it all times up really, really well.
Well, it's been every time we're over there, it's constant dump truck after dump truck after dump truck. You got to watch out, actually. You be careful.
No, no doubt. Yeah.
Hey, a car wash after spending the weekend up there.
And there's no question there's been a lot of progress on this roster, too, Ryan. All the work you guys done in the last few months. Well, it's going to be fun. Probably a different feel when everybody reports to Bourbonnais this year with the level of talent on the field. So congrats for all the work you've put in over the last few months.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you. And anytime you want to do this podcast, let me know. You guys do a good job.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, Ryan.
Ryan Pace, the general manager of the Chicago Bears. So there he is, Ryan Pace. Good to have him back on the pod. I think you probably sounded a little tired.
Brandon Faber put him through the car wash.
Yeah, he did.
Here in Chicago.
He did a little radio tour today.
Yes. At the same time, I don't think he slept much over the past, not only the past 3 days of the draft, but I imagine the past several weeks have been quite exhausting for him and his scouts and and the Bears coaches under Matt Nagy getting their draft board in order for your Roquan Smiths of the world.
Yeah, well, I think that's completely understandable, and it's good to at least hear they were able to have dinner the other night and relax a little bit after the draft.
Yes.
People don't realize that, like, when the draft, Saturday is a long day, but when the draft ends, like, the hardest work of the day starts. Because they got to call all these agents. They try to set up these signings ahead of time. Hey, if you don't get drafted, we're going to be interested.
Exactly. Then
you.
Some of those guys get drafted, you know, and maybe some of these agent relationships are soured. You try to, like, win these guys over throughout the pre-draft process.
It's also tough because, and I think we see this every year with the undrafted free agents, there's always one guy that gets reported to be coming to a team, and then all of a sudden he ends up elsewhere. And I don't know that's necessarily bad reporting as much as it is these players are getting phone calls and they might want to go somewhere, but they're not getting that offer. So they may agree to go to a different team, and then all of a sudden that team they want to go to calls.
Right. As we record this right now, Monday afternoon, the Bears have yet to announce any of their undrafted free agent signings. They usually take a couple days because these guys literally have not signed yet.
Right.
Yes, they are announcing them all over Twitter or whatnot. They're just agreeing to terms. But like you said, some of these guys, an extra 10 grand from another team. I might have to take that.
Sure.
I might have to try my talents, take my talents somewhere else in an effort to prove my NFL worth. So it happens all the time. Yeah, the Bears have been one of the last teams to announce these. But they've had some hits. I would say your Bryce Callahan's of the world stand out. Harold Jones, Cordy, I think, although he was a waiver wire pickup, but an undrafted guy.
Yeah, I don't know that I would call him a hit.
But he's played. He's played.
He did give us this. No, I guess not.
Not going to work.
We're going to be annoying today. Anyway, yeah.
I'll say, you got to come out hard and stay hard.
Right, exactly.
That is the HJQ soundbite. But a guy like Bryce Callahan has stood out. They found some undrafted talent before.
Well, exactly. And if anything, you hope that at least gives you some depth. And this year, especially because they have so many roster holes.
Well, I think they set it up purposely this way.
They had to fill out the rest of the roster with a bunch of rookies.
Yes. Again, this is, maybe we could stop calling it a rebuild since Mr. Trubisky has arrived in town. But this is a team that's made a serious commitment to get younger. That's why Willie Young is not here. That's why Lamar Houston may or may not return. You got it yet?
There we go, Harold. There he is.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
There he is.
You sound shy. Yes. Come on, man.
He's shy.
I don't know. What's going on?
Whoa.
What's even happening?
I think we got to
There he is.
Come out hard and stay hard.
Oh, he came out there hard there. He came out real hard there. But again,
put the GM on, all of a sudden the equipment starts malfunctioning.
Okay. Man. So you have a team that's made a commitment to get younger. And I think that's why you have so many roster openings right now, is because they want to give all these young guys a shot.
Let's go through some of these picks and recap what the Bears did this weekend. Mm-hmm. We haven't really had a chance to to go through all this. But Roquan Smith, absolutely love the pick.
Agreed.
You know, I put out my Bears big board, I think it was last Monday, and I actually had Minka Fitzpatrick ahead of Roquan Smith.
Okay.
Fitzpatrick was 3, Smith was 4, top was Nelson, Barkley, Fitzpatrick.
You had no issues putting a guard number 1?
No, no issues.
I wanted to bust your chops about that. He's a guard.
All right. Joe, please save this audio, and in 15 years when Roquan
Smith, he's going to be an all-pro player.
Maybe, but when Quentin Nelson is giving his Hall of Fame speech in Canton, we can replay this
15
audio.
15 years from now? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll hold you to it.
Watch.
Hold you to it. Okay. Watch. Okay. Again, fantastic football player. I just think you could value guards.
Well, you heard what Ryan Pace said. I mean, he's obviously not going to come out and say, yeah, we were going to pick him. But it sure sounded like he wouldn't have mind. He basically said if Smith was off the board.
He also said that the interior offensive linemen were deep this year in class.
Yeah.
So, say the Bears had, let's play a hypothetical. Bears are at number 6. They don't have the number 8 pick. They have number 6 pick.
Is this a John's-athetical?
John's-athetical, yes.
Kind of like a cap-athetical?
A team.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and veto that. That's out. Nope.
What? What's
no,
out?
No, we're not going to play on the words of athetical. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Athetical.
Okay. So we have an athetical here. Who are you taking? Who are you taking? Roquan Smith or Quentin Nelson? Now, if you're going by your board, I know who you're taking.
Yeah, I would have taken Nelson.
I would have taken Smith.
Okay.
Because you're getting a player in 15 years is going to give his Hall of Fame speech.
Ooh, you said it first.
Okay. Record that, Joe. So you have him, and then you get one of these. Who would you rather have? Quentin Nelson or the linebacker that, I forget his name, that the Colts took high in the second round? Or would you rather have Roquan Smith and James Daniels?
Yeah, I see what you're saying because you can address a position later. I still think you take the best player available on your board.
What if they're that similar? What if you have whatever the grade is, and they are a fraction apart?
Sure. That's why I actually said going in the draft, while I had Nelson ahead of Barkley, if Matt Nagy, my head coach, was telling me that Barkley is going to be the difference for his offense, mm-hmm. then I would actually value that enough to flip-flop him,
okay.
even though in my personal opinion it would have been the other way. Anyway, what I was getting to with Fitzpatrick and Smith, so that's how I have my board. Every year I do this mock draft in Jacksonville on radio, where they call me to do the Bears pick.
Okay.
They have like reporters from all mm-hmm. you know, the towns do the pick. I've done this one in Jacksonville every year. Anyway, the way it fell, Barkley got picked 7th right before the Bears at number 8. So at my board, Fitzpatrick and Smith were both available. And I had Minka ahead of Smith. And right there in that moment, I had gun to my head, you have to make a decision. And I went against my board, and I picked Roquan Smith because it kind of made me realize right there doing that exercise that while the way I ranked them, I actually disagreed with my own rankings there. Because if I had to have one or the other, I would have picked Smith, and I did. Because I think at that position, inside linebacker, they need somebody to just take charge of the defense. Somebody needs to be the guy that you can count on every week to get everybody lined up. Even last year, when Trevathan took over the headset, when Jarrell Freeman got hurt,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't something he has a whole lot of experience doing. It wasn't something I got the sense
I believe Nick Okowski was doing it by the end of the season.
Exactly. It wasn't something that Danny really wanted to do. You need the guy that wants to do that.
So what you're saying is that a linebacker, an inside linebacker, would have more of an impact on your team than a guard?
Not necessarily.
I'm literally rolling my eyes at you.
This is a stupid argument. So you're saying you would have had Smith ahead of Nelson.
Yes.
Fine. All right,
yes,
I disagree.
Yes.
I disagree.
More of a wide-range impact on your football team.
No.
You're agreeing with him?
Yes.
All right, you want to move on to round 2? We already talked about James Daniels a bit.
We did, yeah, with Pace. Miller seems to be the guy everybody loves. Joniak came up to me right before the second round started
mm-hmm.
Friday night and said, the guy I want more than anybody is Anthony Miller. So, which supports my theory that Jeff Joniak is making all the decisions.
Yes, he also likes Roquan Smith, yes.
And he was actually the one. So really, we should have interviewed Jeff Joniak today, not Ryan Pace.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I love the Anthony Miller pick. I almost like it more than the Roquan Smith pick because of who you are offensively and what you want to be for.
So you would have had Miller.
No. I kind of left my open for that one. Okay. You get what I'm saying. Offensive-minded head coach, young, blossoming quarterback, get him a receiver, especially after losing Cam Meredith. I think Anthony Miller is a fantastic football player. You've watched his film. I know you have.
Yeah.
He's like an acrobat out there. Contested catches. I like how every single play, it seems like it's his last, or he's trying to prove himself on every single snap, even if the ball's not thrown his way.
Yeah. Which is a big reason why I like DJ Moore out of Maryland. Mm-hmm. Similar type guy. When he gets the ball, he runs more like a running back than a wide receiver. How many times do you see guys just like kind of catch the ball? I'm just going to skip out of bounds here.
Yeah.
That's not how Anthony Miller plays.
Yeah.
I
don't mind that if he takes some of those at the next level.
Well, if you're about to get hammered.
Faster, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, get down. Marvin Harrison got down all the time.
But the mentality is that it's not just about catch the ball, get down. His game, especially because he's a little undersized, it's going to be picking up yards after the catch, too.
Yes. But again, some of the catches he makes, this guy scored 18 touchdowns. 18 touchdowns last year. It was consensus All-American. I just think some players, like a Rob Gronkowski, this is probably an awful comparison, but just for this point being, some players just have a knack for scoring, have a knack for finding the end zone. They really do. I think Anthony Miller has that.
Well, he's a guy, and there's a few guys in this draft class. I think Smith counts as one, too. That's maybe not your ideal size at the position. Not that undersized. A lot of people said Roquan Smith's undersized. It's not. He's not really undersized.
He's not Zach Thomas.
He's just not a massive dude. Like some guys are like Urlacher was just a massive dude for that
Lance
position.
Lance Briggs wasn't a massive dude.
Right.
Ray Lewis wasn't a massive dude.
So I don't. Saying he's undersized is wrong. I think saying he's average size for the position.
Yeah.
That probably makes more sense.
Okay, sure. Would you like him to be 6'2"? Okay, yeah. Fine. Whatever. 6'3", whatever.
Yeah, I wish Anthony Miller was 6'4".
Yes. All that matters is that he could turn and run with some running backs. He's a matchup problem. We talked to Matt Nagy about this. He negates matchups. He makes the offensive coordinator's job harder because he eliminates certain matchups for the Bears defense now.
Yeah, I like that pick. The interior, I didn't know what to expect with when James Daniels was picked. I didn't know what Ryan Pace was going to say that night because it sure seemed. I think too many people jumped to the conclusion that because Daniels played center the last 2 years, he was automatically going to be center.
I was guilty of that, yes.
I have always gotten the sense that the Bears would prefer to play Whitehair at guard. Prefer to play him at center, not guard.
Matt Nagy the other day praised him his work at center.
Yeah. So I wasn't completely caught off guard when Pace immediately came out and said Daniels is going to be the guard. But again, as you just heard Ryan Pace say here on this podcast, they're going to work it out. I mean, if Daniels struggles at guard, well, then maybe he needs to be a center. And they do have that position versatility. I just hope that there's a little bit, especially for Cody Whitehair's sake, he can concentrate on one position.
There's value in versatility, just like there is maybe more value in consistency. Again, they value that versatility because the Bears have lacked consistency in their offensive line. Kyle Long getting hurt, Josh Sitton, who despite his years of good health in Green Bay, did not have it here. So you did not have any consistency. So that's why I think they've targeted versatility. That's why I think they like James Daniels in the middle of their offensive line.
When Pace said that, did you guys get the sense that he is that they're open to splitting reps, or that they're just kind of open to one guy playing one position, and if it doesn't work out, then they have the option to change it later?
My guess from watching the way they've operated in previous training camps. Now, granted, there's a new head coach who certainly has the power to do things a different way if he wants, especially because he's an offensive head coach. And we don't know how Harry Hiestand likes to do this. So it'll be interesting to watch. But my guess is when they take the field for that first practice in Bourbonnais, your starting offensive linemen will be Leno, Daniels, Whitehair, Long, assuming he's healthy and out there, which we don't know for that first practice, and then Massey. And then that's the way they'll practice. I don't know that they'll necessarily say, hey, Daniels, go take second team reps at center. It's possible, but Whitehair's now entering his third year. They're not going to have him take multiple team reps, I don't think. So that'll probably be how it is until at least the first preseason game, probably even the second preseason. Well, they're playing five now, so it'll be interesting to see. But anyway, I think they'll let the games then decide how they're performing at those spots. And if necessary, after those first couple preseason games, then maybe they would come back to a practice and switch them if it's necessary.
Yeah, trust Harry Hiestand. If you're one of those Bears fans who are upset that, oh, they're moving guys around again, how could you do this? Kyle Long situation all over again. No, it's not like that. If you trust Harry Hiestand, if you praise that move, if you're a Bears fan who fell in love with that move, what, a couple months ago, then love the decision-making here, because Harry Hiestand, Ryan Pace is not making this decision. Yes, he's the one who turns in the draft card, all that stuff. Harry Hiestand is in charge of that offensive line. Matt Nagy is helping mold that offensive line. Trust their vision for what they're trying to build up front. This is not John Fox football 2.0.
Ooh. Thank God.
Yeah, I'm not an offense coordinator, I'm not a defense coordinator, I'm not a special teams coordinator, but I coordinate all three.
Not anymore.
He's going to be coordinating a TV show. I'm not the host, I'm not the analyst, I'm not the producer, but I do all three.
Let's hope he's not producing anything on TV. Okay. Joel Iye Buniwe.
Well done. I'm not going to try. You're like looking.
Come on, do it.
No,
do it.
I can't. You have the pronunciation in front of you.
Joel Iye Buniwe. I didn't look down that time.
Well, you just said it.
Also, I got put on the spot yesterday on WGN radio to say it, and I did not have it in front of me, and I did it.
You got it?
I did it.
It's impressive. That's impressive. I think this is my favorite pick because so many people are upset about it.
Who's upset about it?
Twitter land.
Like Potsy?
Well, he's always upset. People were just... My favorite thing about
Twitter
draft, Twitter land, yeah. My favorite thing about NFL, the NFL draft Twitter land is everybody has like these certain players they're obsessed with.
We should have like a soundbite for Twitter land.
Twitter land, yeah.
Like
Twitter
land. Birds chirping in the background. We can, let's go to Twitter land.
Rock and Robin, whatever.
Yeah.
It's look, people are already calling him a special teamer. You can't get it. You could have got him in the seventh round. You don't know that. Trust the guys who have more information than all of us, more information than all the analysts.
I can give you five examples of players that I can tell you for a fact that I exchanged conversations with people who matter in the league. And they said, hey, I think this guy's going to be here. I think this guy's going to be here. And it didn't come close to that. Okay? I was asking around about Justin Jackson, obviously, because I cover Northwestern. I do sidelines for Northwestern. And everyone I talked to thought he helped himself at the combine. And probably moved up fourth, fifth round, something like that. He went through like the fifth to last pick in the entire draft.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming. Josie Jewell from Iowa. And just to show you that sometimes it's about testing. Sometimes it's not about testing. Josie Jewell didn't test well. He went, was it third round or fourth round?
Yeah.
He went way higher than I thought.
Day three is a complete crapshoot. Who was the local kid? Brian Allen, the Michigan State center.
Yep.
Like NFL.com had a priority free agent grade on him. He went in like the fourth or fifth round.
Yeah.
So... Look, don't believe...
Twitter land.
Yes, yes, yes. I know everybody has their favorite picks and whatnot. Give the kid a chance. We're not going to know what he is for a couple years. I do think it's a reflection of what... That's good.
That was hot, though. What's going on?
Yeah.
But yeah, wait, on the fly.
That's good.
That is annoying, just like Twitterland.
Twitterland.
So, perfect.
So Iggy is my pick. I'm not going to butcher his name. You did an exceptional job saying it.
Iye Buniwe.
Look, I'm already stuttering over it. I think I'm rooting for him because Twitterland does not like this kid. And I think at the very least, he has some potential that should be given some consideration by Twitterland.
I don't know why that's making me laugh. Joe is probably rolling his eyes back at the studio.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, all right. I can say Iwe Buniwe. I can't say Bilal. Bilal Nichols from Delaware.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. But here's the thing. Like, he could be good, could be not good. And Jordan Morgan could be a Hall of Famer for all we all know coming up, you know?
Jordan Morgan's a guy I would say don't forget about.
Yeah.
He basically redshirted last year.
Look, he's got certain characteristics you like. Good athlete. Akeem Hicks 2.0, no. We don't know. You don't know. I mean, what was Akeem Hicks? Wasn't he a day three pick?
Akeem Hicks, I think he was.
So have some faith, at least in that regard, and have faith in Fangio's selection.
I'll tell you which pick I like, though. I usually almost throw out 6th and 7th round picks. Like the amount I value 6th and 7th round picks are not very much at all. Third round of the 2012 NFL draft for Akeem Hicks, by the way. So that would make him a day two pick. But Javon Wims from Georgia, even though he didn't test that well and he's not the fastest guy in the world, I'm still a little surprised he fell all the way to the 7th round. He is a guy that has some size.
He's a go up and get a guy.
And he catches everything. I mean, he has really good hands.
He hasn't played football much, has he not? Former basketball player. In terms of football playing years and production, it's not on par with some of these guys. Certainly, he's not as played as much football as Anthony Miller.
I didn't write up a scouting report on him. I didn't get that far with Wims this year. So instead, I'll read you the NFL.com scouting report from Lance Zierlein. On Javon Wims, who, let me get you the exact height, weight, 6'3", 215 pounds. Hands are a little small, 9 1/4. That's another reason why they like Anthony Miller. He's got 10-inch hands, which does make a difference, especially when you're smaller. Wims was a high school basketball star in Miami, but tried his hand at football at Belhaven College in 2014. So that's exactly right. That doesn't have a whole lot of experience. He was coached by Hal Mummy.
That's not a real name.
It is. Hal Mummy's a guy. I know that name. In his one season there, playing in 6 games before a broken ankle ended the season, Wims left Belhaven at the semester break, working at the clothing store. Wow, they get deep with this stuff. Okay, yada, yada, yada. Top 5 JUCO receiver prospect signed with Georgia for 2016. Contributed immediately. We're not talking about Delaware here. We're talking about Georgia.
National championship game, Georgia. He was their leading receiver.
Yes, and never played before. And he goes to Georgia, and he started 3 of 13 games, 17 catches, 190 yards, caught his first touchdown in the team's bowl game last year. And then this year, one of the biggest draft risers, led the Bulldogs with 45 catches, 720 yards, and 7 touchdowns.
Now, the Bulldogs were a run-heavy team. 2 great backs.
And a freshman quarterback.
Yes, yes. I asked Ryan Pace the other night of why you think, is there a level of surprise why the leading receiver from a national championship team from a program such as Georgia is there in the 7th round? And yeah, I guess he did kind of sidestep the question. There's all sorts of reasons for it. But you're taking a flyer in a guy who hasn't played much football, who, if you watch his film, he makes some impressive catches against some very good competition. He's a go up and get a guy.
The overview on the scouting report here: improving prospect with good size, great ball skills, but a lack of suddenness and long speed. He created a highlight reel full of impressive catches in 2017, but he will have to prove he can free himself from press corners, looking to jam his release and squat on underneath routes. Wims has the size and tools to work with, but he'll need to play to his size and continue to improve as a route runner. He has the potential to earn a spot as a wide receiver 4 or wide receiver 5 as a pro.
They got a few go up and get up guys. I can't even say that now. He's throwing me off. Go up and get it.
Get it.
Allen Robinson. Anthony Miller.
Yep.
Our 7th round pick here. My guy, Tanner Gentry, qualifies as that.
You know, and I don't think that Benny Fowler's a bad player.
No. No.
Let's hope they can all stay healthy. Oh, but, you know, Kevin White might be a guy who can go up and get it if he stays healthy.
He did that one day this, last week at minicamp. But I want to see a lot more from Kevin White. Seventh overall pick, you have so much to prove.
Absolutely. He looked fast. But again, he was wearing shorts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's April. He always looks fast in shorts in April.
I would say he looked faster this year than last year.
I would too. I just want to see him. Well, he's not coming off a leg injury this year, so he should be.
Yes.
He should be looking good from that standpoint. They're always using that word confidence. And I noticed that right away with Matt Nagy. As soon as he started talking about Kevin White in that first press conference after that first minicamp day, that C word came up. Not that one. Confidence.
Where's your mind at?
Confidence.
Okay. Okay.
And I just, that was unprompted too. Mm-hmm. I think it was.
Yep.
That's always the word we're talking about with this kid.
When it was brought up last year, when certain things were brought up last year with Kevin White, remember that? Training camp? First day back from Ireland. What's going on with Zach Cassani and Kevin White?
Yeah.
What is going on? What have I missed? Why are they about to go at it with each other?
That was a weird situation. Anyway, what I want to see from Kevin once the pads go on in Bourbonnais, more competitiveness, more confidence. You know, he just doesn't always run confidently. That's a hard thing to explain, but
yes.
When you're just watching players, and I'm sure this is like a scout can tell you the same thing when they're watching. Like, I'm sure this is a reason why the Bears liked Anthony Miller so much. When he doesn't carry his 5'11". He's running around there like he's 6'5".
Yep. What I like about this is nothing. Like, I felt like last year's stuff was given to Kevin White based on his draft selection. This year,
yeah, that's gone.
Absolutely nothing is given to him.
Yeah.
He's got to earn everything coming his way.
Unless
he is arguably, where would you put him on the draft chart?
Unless
or the depth chart, I would put him 4 or 5 right now. I'm putting Anthony Miller ahead of him. New coach, new scheme, new pick. He's ahead of you.
I think you're right, especially because it's a new coach. Yeah.
4?
Will you slot in Gabriel 3 then?
Yeah. Well, give or take. I'm not going. Look, there's like a one true receiver.
I mean, Nagy did call Miller the slot guy the other day, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. So Taylor Gabriel's the same. But these guys are going to be all over the place.
Because Kevin, you're hoping, can play more on the outside. But
can he be a backup for Allen Robinson?
He's not playing special teams.
No.
No, I'm not going to start suggesting that his job's in jeopardy this year.
You could do it. Go ahead.
If he has a terrible training camp, you could do it. So, yeah, we asked Ryan Pace about the fifth-year option just to see if we could find out.
You went fishing. It's okay.
Well, I don't think it's happening. What was the...
It's a lot of money for a guy who's
$13.9 million that you would be guaranteeing
for injury
for 2019.
Yes,
not happening.
No,
but they'll work that out in the coming days. I think the deadline's Thursday for that. All right, what else we get to here?
I like the draft.
I liked your write up on the undrafted free agent signings.
Yeah, they keep pouring in. I think the Bears did pretty well this year. They had a good draft last year. Can we make that clear? Last year's class that was ripped.
Well, like most will say, I still think it's to be determined. I think the early results are good.
In terms of what Tariq Cohen and Eddie Jackson gave you as fourth round picks. I take that.
Well, I'd say, look, a year later, you have three starting caliber players. Obviously, Mitch, Tariq Cohen, and...
Eddie Jackson.
And I say starting caliber because technically Tariq's not a starter, but that's not really
and I think
his
we're gonna
fault.
See
He's whole, good enough.
To and be, I think we're going to see a whole new Adam Shaheen this year.
A whole new Adam Shaheen. Should I be singing Disney songs again?
A whole new... Yeah, do it again and see what you got.
You know, I think Adam's had a good season.
Yeah, he did. Could have probably done a little bit more, but...
I still don't think they used him right last year. Like, I'm intrigued to see him this year just because... I think he'll get used better.
I get that he's got the full-on prototypical makeup for an inline tight end, but he did so many different things at Ashland. Every single snap he took last season was from an inline tight end spot. There were points where they'd have Daniel Brown in the spot where Adam Shaheen is, and then they would call a timeout. Adam Shaheen would come out into the field. Before the timeout, Daniel Brown is in an upright position. Adam Shaheen comes into the spot. He is 1 yard in further to the center in a three-point stance. Why could he not just be up in a two-point stance? I felt like they limited him purposely last year.
Yeah, I don't know. Because a few times he ran a route, caught the ball. He had like a couple big... You know, he showed the ability to run after the catch.
Yeah.
It looks a little goofy running, but he can do it.
Yeah.
He's athletic.
He's lumbering, which is okay. Knock some guys over.
Yeah, I think he's... Obviously, Trey Burton's the guy that you're trying to use as a receiver.
Yes.
But Shaheen can give you that ability.
Yeah, I think the sense of optimism with this team starts with what's been put around Mitch Trubisky. You compare it to what they had last year, and it's significantly better. And that's your starting point. You can't compare him against other teams right now. You have Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, Anthony Miller, Trey Burton, and you have James Daniels to go with Cody Whitehair and Kyle Long. And then you have the last year's skill guys who were here before. Your Jordan Howard, your three Cohens, and your Adam Shaheens. That's an array of offensive talent I think a lot of teams would like.
And the defense shouldn't be any worse, especially using your first-round pick on Roquan.
Mm-hmm.
It could be better. Now, I still think they need more pass rushers.
Here's one thing. You know, I know we got tight with time on with Ryan Pace there, but Vic Fangio can manufacture rush, and he likes to send his linebackers. Roquan Smith is a great blitzing linebacker. He did it exceptionally well at Georgia, 6.5 sacks.
And Nick Kwiatkowski's shown that ability, too.
Yes, Danny Trevathan can time those sacks. The Bears, they were, what, top 10 in sacks last year? Almost half of them came from your linebackers, not your outside linebackers, your inside linebackers, and defensive backs. Kevon LeBlanc, I think, had 2 sacks. Bryce Callahan got to the quarterback. So you can manufacture pressure in different ways.
Yeah, remember they started bringing Sherrick McManus on the field.
Off the edge.
And yeah, he was like, basically lined up as an outside linebacker.
Yes, yes. So you can manufacture pressure in different ways. Now, you would like a guy you could count on. I don't even think Leonard Floyd is that. You'd like that go-to Von Miller-like guy. Your Joey Bosa's of the world.
Well, he needs to stay healthy. Yeah. And that's the thing. Look, the schedule's not easy.
No.
And you have to stay healthy.
Although, I think some of those teams on the schedule, we talked about this. The Seahawks aren't the Seahawks of old. Seahawks.
Sure. That's a home game week 2. It's one that Bears can win.
You know, there's some of these teams.
I don't think the Packers are. I don't think the Packers are that great.
No, who's playing quarterback for the Jets?
Sam Darnold.
Mm-hmm. So.
You got a rookie there. You got
McCown, Bridgewater.
Yeah. Cardinals, Mike Glennon. Telling you right now, it's going to be Mike Glennon.
Why? Because Bradford will be hurt already?
Yes. Yes.
That's week 3?
He's getting hurt as we speak. Yes. Think about this.
The Cardinals aren't going to do... They're not going to make the mistake the Bears did.
They're going to have to go to...
They're not going to play Mike Glennon over Josh Rosen.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's true.
And I don't even think Rosen's going to be that good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Man, things are lining up. They're drafting Hall of Famers, 3-0 already. This is really a good draft.
But again, I think I'm going to pick the Bears at 7-9.
I'm leaning 8-8 already.
Yeah, okay.
Look at it. They have... You can go back to the schedule last year. There were a lot of games they were in that they could have won. Week 1 against the Falcons.
Yeah.
They could have won.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And their offense, not only are we talking about the depth chart being so much better, the coaching, that's what I keep going to. The coaching is going to be, however much you think the roster's improved on that side of the ball, the coaching, 10 times as much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And don't discount that. And then on the other side of the ball, you have the same good coaching you've had, the same players, with Roquan Smith added.
Yep.
How does that add up to anything less than... At least 7-9.
Yes. I think that's the floor. And I think the biggest difference between – everyone's going to compare him to the Eagles and the Rams because of the quarterback situations and the coaches, right? Those divisions are not the NFC North. Not whatsoever. Cowboys stunk last year. Giants really stunk last year. What do they call them? A hot garbage full of hot garbage? Whatever.
What?
Yeah. Hot garbage.
You call them hot garbage?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You did predict that like week one.
Yeah, they're bad.
You were like, I think the Giants are terrible.
Yes.
And you had that. That was probably your best prediction of the year.
Yeah, nailed that one. Nailed it. The division is so good. I don't think the Vikings are going anywhere.
I don't think the division's that good.
It's better than the NFC East. It's better than the NFC West.
Sure. But let me put it this way. I think the Vikings are really good. I think they will continue to be really good. But that window is going to start closing faster than you think. I think the Packers and Lions are beatable.
I feel like the Packers window is one that goes open and shut based on their quarterback. And even with the quarterback.
Here's a minimum.
Yeah.
If we're going to talk about the schedule, here's a minimum. You have to beat Green Bay and Detroit at home.
Yeah.
That's the biggest. John Fox couldn't beat the NFC North.
Mm-hmm.
You have to start beating your NFC North opponents.
To play offense.
And at least at home, win those home games. I would say, you know, they almost beat the Vikings last year at home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The Lions are a beatable team. Beatable team. Matthew Stafford's a good quarterback, not great. Good receivers there. I've always figured them as a beatable team, though. Again, the Bears will play offense this year, and they'll actually play offense.
Think about when Aaron Rodgers went down.
Mm-hmm.
How different...
Wait, is this Shane McClellan era or last year?
No, last year when he was off the team. And what we said about the Packers that week, and we said over and over again, this is a game the Bears should win. And when the game was over and they didn't win, we said that was a game they should have won.
Oh, yeah. Brett Hundley.
And that to this day, to me, was the day John Fox got fired. The day John Fox officially lost his job.
Coming off a bye, too.
Yeah, coming off a bye. They were absolutely flat.
Horrendous.
My point here being, I think once again the Packers are one Aaron Rodgers injury away from being a very mediocre team. With him, they're good. They're not great. They're good. But they're beatable. Even with Aaron Rodgers, I think they're beatable if you just play halfway decent football.
And I love
that performance against Green Bay is what I think is not I don't think that's going to happen anymore.
I love the underlying storyline up there too of how unhappy Aaron Rodgers is too.
It's interesting.
You know, a little shade here or there, unhappy with Mike McCarthy who's in his last year of his deal.
I think there's a very good chance they have a new head coach after next season.
I get that the Packers they got a good thing going. They've had a good thing going, especially compared to the Bears. But you don't shake up your front office like they've done without some holes. They've drafted like 1,000 defensive backs over the past 4 years.
Yeah.
That's an exaggeration, but literally they've drafted like 9 defensive backs in the first 3 or 4 rounds since like 2014.
Well, man, I mean, Mike Pettine is scared of Mitch Trubisky. Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
mean, Jair Alexander and Josh Jackson. By the way, great pick in the second round.
Yes, good value. So it's not all happy times up in Green Bay. I compared to the what's going on here with the Bears over the past several years, of course the Packers are going to look better. But that roster, I mean, Ted Thompson would still have his job right now if that roster was not as devoid of talent as it is right now.
And he stopped.
They've had misses.
It's kind of like the end of the Jerry Angelo tenure. The draft picks, not that he was ever that great, but they were picking okay for a while there, and then they...
They're starting to whiff. They've had a lot of turnover. They have a lot of good scouting minds have left that organization over the past several years.
All right. Anything else we should get to?
Mm-mm.
Bears are going to the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl, Super Bears. They'll be better. I think drive that message home. They're going to be a better team.
You want to start breaking down special teams or wait till training camp?
No, we got time for
that. We're going to be simple. We're going to play fast. We're going to play hard. We're going to kill it, okay? This is a great acronym, you guys, right? Kill it. Keep it likable and learnable.
Our goal for training camp is to get him on the podcast, though.
Ooh, good idea.
Yes.
Good idea. Hmm. Looking at a tweet here from Greg Cassell. Based on my evaluations of the prospects, first of all, let's go to Twitter land. I felt the Bears' first four selections in the draft were strong. The more I watched Anthony Miller, the more I liked him. Chicago now has more than enough weapons, Tom Thibodeau voice, and Matt Nagy said that the other day, to execute Matt Nagy's expansive and diverse offensive approach, retweeted by Andy, is it Benoit or Benoit?
Benoit, yep.
Andy Benoit, who's trusted football mind at Sports Illustrated, MMQB, he retweeted and said, thought the Bears had as good of a draft as any team.
Andy gave the Colts, I think, a C- for their draft.
You just hate Quentin Nelson also.
No, no. I think he's a great player. I just think the Bears played it right. Now, they didn't have... Okay, there was nothing to play because Quentin Nelson was on the board. I just think I would take the pairing of a Roquan Smith and the next best guard over Quentin Nelson and a flyer on a linebacker.
Yeah, no, I think it worked out well. I'm not denying that.
Okay.
I see your logic there. It worked out well. And Stuart Mandel tweeting that Northwestern quarterback Clayton Thorson is showing up in every early 2019 first-round mock.
Today. No kidding. That's awesome.
And then he said last season, Thorson was the 10th rated passer in the Big Ten. I will never understand mock draft culture.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's selling Clayton Thorson very short, though, to criticize that. He's got size. He's got the arm. He's got all the tools. He needs to be better this year, though.
Yeah.
No question. All right. Let's get out of here.
Yeah. It's been fun.
You don't want to do 2019 mock draft right now?
No.
Clayton Thorson, number one overall.
What if he does have an exceptional year? Comeback player of the year, Big Ten and offensive player of the year. Another bowl win for them.
It was talked about that he could have come out this year.
I know.
He hurt his knee and it was a moot point.
A lot of teams went there to look at him.
Absolutely. There's legitimate buzz about him.
They got monster schedule this year.
Monster.
Yeah.
You should go buy Northwestern season tickets.
I want to go to a game.
Michigan, Nebraska, Notre Dame, Wisconsin.
Ooh.
All coming to Evanston.
Good thing I know a guy.
Who do you know?
Looking at you, sideline.
Do your research.
Yeah, that's me. Okay. You come out.
Sideline passes.
Sideline passes.
I want the full shebang.
You got to talk to Paul. You got to talk to Paul Kennedy about that.
I know that guy, too.
Yeah, you do. All right. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Our producers, Joe Romano, at Joey Joe Rowe. Read all of our draft coverage, WGNRadio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. Please rate and review the podcast. We appreciate you doing that. We'll talk to you soon. Hope you enjoyed the Ryan Pace interview today.
Delaware. Hi. I'm in Delaware.